Right Edition, welcome. I've got company. John Robson, he's a journalist and a documentary film maker, and he's in Ottawa, Ontario. Hi, John, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Hey, good. Nice to talk to you again. Now, just the other day, I was reading one of your articles. I think it was in the National Post, and my phone was ringing and all kinds of things were happening, so I didn't get to finish it. But, of course, the topic of the day in Ontario, particularly, of course, is the Doug Ford, the winning of the PC leadership and so on. And your article was about that. And, again, I didn't get to finish it all, so help me. Tell me what I missed. What did you write?
The main point of my article was that people were once again stunned at a populist upset. And it amazes me that they could consistently underestimate the degree of popular frustration with politics as usual. You know, a lot of people voted for Doug Ford, not because he was their ideal candidate, but because the others, other than Tanya Granagallen, who's too much of a long shot, but Christine Elliott and Carolyn Mulroney both looked like elite insiders who thought nothing was wrong. And now people are saying, oh, what are the Tories doing? Doug Ford, they'll never win the election. But if that were true, he wouldn't have won the nomination.
Yeah. People vote against people in Canada often, of course, and I agree with you 100%. And this Ford, it's an interesting thing that's going on. And what do you think's the outcome of this?
Oh, I believe the Tories will win the election. I think people are very fed up with the incumbent Liberals.
Yeah.
And so my big concern here is whether Doug Ford really understands that government is too big and needs to be made smaller, or if he is more inclined to think, well, if only the right people were in charge, big government could work. Because the funny people say, well, Doug Ford is so hard right. But if you look at his policy positions, such as they are, he said, well, we're not going to cut anything out of health care. So the Canadian health care system, we're just doing great.
Yeah, I get a kick out of guys who say they're really right wing and we're going to cut taxes, but that's all they say. And usually, if you cut something, you got to cut other things. You got to reduce your spending to make it work. And what does hard right mean when I see this in the press everywhere? I didn't see you write that in the National Post particularly, but I've seen other people refer to him as hard right. I mean, I consider myself hard right. Is he hard right? Explain right wing to me in Ontario. what is he?
Well, I mean, I see. Though he did come out and say that he didn't see why the government was running a liquor store. So there's one thing that seems to me to be kind of right-wing. When people say hard right, most of you just mean boo, hiss, down with him. And I think they also kind of have a snobby, oh, he's vulgar, he's not one of us. But Iowa's conservatism, it seems to me, consists of three things: free market economics, strong national defense, and traditional social values. And conservatives can have one of these things and be conservative. Two, they're pretty conservative. Three, if they really believe it, then they're conservatives. But you look at someone like Christine Elliott, who I'm sure is a fine person, but there was nothing the Ontario government is currently doing that she thought it shouldn't be doing. Even they don't want to roll back the minimum wage increase. So it's the latest is, oh, it's so terrible, we roll back, no. General, anywhere near issues like gay marriage or abortion. And so, new security, and where are they on fixing policing?
Let's quickly do a description of Canada and Ontario, because half of our viewers, we have more than a million people a week watch a show, and half of them, I think, are in America and London and various places around the world. So Canada has a population of what? About 32, 33 million people. How many people live in Ontario?
Yeah, we're about 35 million people in Canada now. Ontario is the largest province by population. It's about 11 million. It's in the center of the country. It's the second biggest geographically. But Canada is very big. Canada is the second biggest country in the world. So our provinces are very big, even by Texas standards. But most of the population of Ontario lives in major urban areas near the American border. It's the old industrial heartland. But here's the scary thing. Ontario is the most indebted subnational entity in the world. Its provincial debt is roughly the same size as California's provincial debt, but its economy is far smaller. So there's a huge indebtedness problem here, and the government has just announced they're going to start running big deficits again as a policy choice, but it's not. It's mental abdication. So the challenge for conservatives is, what is government doing that it shouldn't be?
Yeah, which means, of course, to get out of a whole bunch of things that you're in, I mean, eventually your check's going to bounce if you keep writing checks and you don't have any money, right? Even with a province or a state, and it has to end somewhere. And your comparison to California is kind of cool, and I get that, because California is just a basket case in terms of the way they run their business, call it, and there's four times the population there. And to have the same debt as California, I mean, that's not a nice recognition to have. And so the people, what could Ford do? I mean, because there's other things coming here. Let me first say that what if Trump gets this Make America Great Again, Buy America? What if Windsor quit making automobiles? Because, you know, what would that do to the province? I mean, that wouldn't be very pretty. Like, there's a whole bunch of moving pieces here that the new government has to deal with. And again, we're all hopeful that it's the PCs, progressive conservatives. But what would happen with this Trump moving stuff going on? Can Ford handle this?
Assumed that nothing can happen for our economy, partly because for a long time we did have a tax advantage over the United States. People think the United States is a low tax country. It was true for a long time, but it's becoming true again. So what they need to do, first thing, and I think the easiest thing, they need to simplify the tax system, lower the rates, and counter prosperity to bring in money. But the second thing is they need to get out of this horrendous tangle of alternate energy at far above market prices. It is mind-boggling how messed up power generation and delivery is in this province. Take one example. We have a seasonal cottage. It is closed 5 months of the year. Nobody's there. The electricity is off. And they charge us hundreds of dollars in delivery charges while admitting they delivered no electricity whatsoever.
Yeah. Well,
the third thing, this is the scary one. Same thing in California. Same thing anywhere you want to look. They need to do something about social programs that consume something on the order of 2/3 of all program spending. You can't get rid of government operations so you can trim it. But in Canada, because we have this wonderful healthcare system, every single province, 40% of program spending on the war is healthcare. And yet we have lineups, we have patients on beds and toilets and hospitals. Oh. We have all manner of horror stories.
It's dysfunctional.
You understand that if you make healthcare the way the Soviets made cars, you're going to get Lattice.
Yeah, it's totally dysfunctional. Socialism doesn't work. We all know that, and we have socialism kind of on steroids, really. And so, but Doug Ford, he's a character, at least. I mean, he'll be interesting to kind of watch. It's not unlike the Trump thing. You feel like you're at a reality show every day, but certainly you get more engaged, right? And I think Ford will provide that, if nothing else. I remember he and his brother, of course, when his brother was mayor and he was a counselor. I mean, there's all kinds of action every day, so you kind of wanted to watch TV and read what guys like yourself wrote about the day, because at least made it interesting. But it certainly goes beyond that. We need help. Canada needs help. And the economic engine used to be, in some ways still is, Ontario. And that's where the people are. And you said it's so close to the American border. So we're hopeful. Tell me about you. And you have a new project going on. I mean, in addition to being a journalist and doing documentaries and so on, you're now doing something else you hinted at before we came on the air, came live. Tell me what it is you're doing, John.
Okay. Crowdfunding documentaries for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And we've successfully made one work for Sun News Network on the First World War and 100th anniversary. We did work on Magna Carta on the 800th anniversary of Runnymede and the sealing of that pivotal guarantee of individual rights. We've won a Fixing Canada's Constitution, which won't interest your American audience, and in fact, maybe didn't interest the Canadian audience as much as it should have. We did one on Canadians' right to bear arms, and then we did one debunking climate change alarmism. And it's funny, it's the middle of March, I'm looking out my window at a snowstorm and thinking, tell me the one about the end of winter as we know it again. But the new project, and I will be quite honest with you, so far the funding has gone very, very slowly. It's called Israel for Canadians, and it's...
Say that again, it's called what?
Israel for Canadians. All the misunderstandings and lies about the only democracy in the Middle East, staunch ally of Canada and the United States, an open society, obviously the homeland of both Judaism and Christianity, the religion that is the bedrock of our civilization to this day. And people believe the most amazing things about Israel, that it's a regional bully, that it's not really a democracy, that it's intolerant. And so I want to make a documentary showing that none of that is true. It's being funded on Kickstarter. It's called Israel for Canadians. And if people think this is a good idea, they need to go and make a pledge, because we've got less than 3 weeks to go. And so far, we're a long way short of our target. So we need a big push.
Oh, well, that's great. A lot of our viewers, I'm sure, will go and help with that push. Kind of flipping back over to politics a little bit, let me ask you about the free press, because the press is supposed to be free, and you're in the press, you write again for the National Post, the largest newspaper, I think, in Canada. Certainly it's national, at least, and the government is always giving money, corporate welfare, to the press, to the media, to the printed media in particular. And does that take away, in your view, the freedom? Like if I give you money all the time, then I expect you to pick up the phone when I postpone you, right? I mean, there's influence there. There's kind of a rollback or rollover. Does that exist in the free press? I guess what I'm really asking you in a short sentence would be, is the press free? Does it report properly? Or is it a puppet of the government?
So far in this country, the press is still mostly free. The most worrying thing is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which is the government news broadcaster, and state getting into print, which gets $1.4 billion a year from the government, which in Canada is a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And all of us who are working in the private sector are competing with somebody who doesn't have to sell their stuff online, and it's
sure.
really killed us.
But even the private sector, like every newspaper in Canada, applies for and receives a grant, is my understanding. I mean, I don't remember all of the names, but there's a whole bunch of names that, you know, of government agencies that provide funding. And even if you're rich and you don't need it, all you do is fill out the form. And I know people that print books and have newspapers, and they get a check. So does that bias the delivery? It doesn't with you. I've read your stuff, and your deliveries.
But how can you not be looking over your shoulder? I mean, the CBC, it's not pure coincidence that they're very pro-big government.
Oh, CBC is an awful... It's supposed to be... Yeah, yeah. And John, what does CBC stand for? It's supposed to be Canadian Broadcast. It's really Communist Broadcasting Corporation, because that's what they are. They're awful people. They lose billions of dollars a year.
And I mean, if you look in the United States, institutions like the New York Times are pro-big government without being in the pocket of big government. It's possible to hold people accused of being honest. But there's always a conflict of interest if the government's picking up the check, and then they're going to expect you to be respectful to them.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's just a very dangerous initiative. But if people want a free press, set my crowdfunding documentaries on a much bigger scale, they're going to be willing to subscribe to the newspapers and keep us in business. Otherwise, it'll just be the CBC, and you're going to get... one side of the story.
Oh, yeah. Which, of course, breeds or bred the term or verbiage fake news, right? I mean, because you kind of deal with a master who feeds you, and it's unfortunate. Again, guys like yourself who still kind of speak it out properly are rare and good for you. I think the free press that ain't free has to have guys like you to kind of, I don't know, dress it up a little bit so we don't realize how far along we are. But anyway, that's another thing. Give me your crowdfunding information again for our viewers, and then we're going to sign off for now, and we're going to get you back on here soon because we want to follow this Ford situation, and I like your writings about it. And the Ford Nation, we can only hope that that character in him comes out with some real free enterprise kind of finally, you know, conservative stuff. And by the way, in Ontario, that name progressive conservative, I dislike that a lot because you're saying two things. Progressive is left, conservative is right. That's like saying a virgin hooker. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, that's somewhere else. Give us your information on your...
conservatives and governors, progressives.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So crowdfunding, there's two ways. You can go to Kickstarter and search for Israel for Canadians,
okay,
or John Robson, or you can go to my website, which is johnrobson.ca, not .com, .ca,
okay.
And then there are links to the project and to all my other documentaries, which are available free on YouTube, because once you crowdfund them, they're done, you can give away.
I like that. johnrobson.ca. That's real simple. John, you have a nice day in Ottawa, and keep beating up those commies there, because there's a lot of them walking around. Hey.